Hello, and welcome to the podcast ministry of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Learn more about worship, discipleship ministries, and social justice outreach online at hennepinchurch.org. This is the sermon podcast for the Sacred Journey service on May 21st, 2017. The scripture reading is John 21, 1-15, and the speakers are Betty Lundeen and David McNally.
We continue our walk into Brian McLaren's book, We Make the Road by Walking, and this week the chapter title is The Uprising of Discipleship. Wow. So the scripture is one of my favorites, and it's a favorite, I think, of many Minnesotans. So John 21. Jesus later appeared to his disciples along the shore of Lake Tiberias. Many of the disciples were there when Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The others said, "We will go with you." They went out in their boat, but they didn't catch a thing that night. Early the next morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize who he was. And Jesus shouted, "Friends, have you caught anything?" "No," they answered. So he told them, "Let your net down on the right side of your boat, and you will catch some fish." They did. And the net was so full of fish that they could not drag it up into the boat. Jesus' favorite disciple told Peter, "It's Jesus." And when Simon heard that it was Jesus, he put on the clothes that he had taken off while he was working, and then he jumped into the water. The boat was only about 100 yards from shore, so the other disciples stayed in the boat and dragged in the net full of fish. When the disciples got out of the boat, they saw some bread and a charcoal fire with fish on it. Jesus told his disciples, "Bring some of the fish you just caught. Come and eat." And none of the disciples dared ask who he was. They knew he was the Lord. Jesus took the bread in his hands and gave some of it to his disciples. He did the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When Jesus and his disciples had finished eating, he asked, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than the others do?" And Simon Peter answered, "Yes, Lord, you know I do." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus said. These are words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And each of you is also a word of God for the people. We are a people who follow. Sometimes we follow things that bring us life, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we do that thing that we call following shiny things, where we are doing one thing, and then we see, oh, that's kind of bright and shiny, I'll follow that for a while. And so we are followers. We're also leaders, but we are followers. Jesus' call to be a follower is where we get that word disciple. In Brian McLaren's book, he said, the word disciple still meant what it's meant all along, to be a follower, a student, an apprentice, one who learns by imitating a master. We've followed Jesus, and we've also followed others in our lives, and we have a couple of people this morning that are going to share a little bit about their sense of what it means to be a disciple, a follower, one who follows something that leads toward transformation. And Betty is going to begin us, Betty Lundeen, who had some good things to say during Seeds of Celebration last week.
Thank you. Hello. Well, being a follower takes a lifetime of figuring out. As United Methodists, long ago we heard the order, the goal, the plan to make disciples out in the world. Does that mean me? Does that mean God? Does that mean that we need to work together? Does that mean God within is calling me to be the disciple? Who, what, when, how? That would take a book to write. I was given a minute to speak today, so here goes. To me, discipleship is accepting Jesus as God's apprentice of sharing love, then asking me to share love with others. That to me has two main parts, the being and the doing. Being a disciple to me means to be the love that I was created to be, to share the love that I am called to share, to serve others who have not yet heard the message of love or experienced it in their lives. Why do I hear the call so deeply? What is the call that goes way down to my roots? Growing up in the parsonage was busy with folks coming to our door, coming with such sad stories. The man who came with a gun that threatened my father, who was counseling his wife. The boy who came to live with my folks because his family had ousted him because they found out he was gay, who later committed suicide in our basement. Church friend, my dearest church friend, who was shot at school by a bully. These are life experiences that very early on showed me the way, the need for discipleship. I came to believe, though, that everybody is born to be a disciple. They just needed help to figure it out. That to me is what the church family is all about. Learning, experiencing, connecting with others in loving ways. But then my explanation of how do we do it? Yes, as teacher, as preacher, but most important, learning how to be a good listener. You know, selling the product of Jesus Christ's love was helpful, but first needed to communicate with others about their pain, their struggle. Yes, also their joys, where they had found peace in their life. But then you ask, how are you today, dear friend? How can I be here for you today, dear friend? That's the doorway. That's the doorway to helping others open their doors. Grandmotherhood is still teaching me. What is discipleship to my granddaughter? Well, a Christology and churchology and Godology and campology, they no longer open doors for her. But if you opened your heart, dear one, to feel my love, you know what love is all about. Couldn't you say God is love, or maybe love is God? Does that make more sense to you? Love is your word. God is my word. So why can't we be together saying it different ways? That's what connects us. God is love. Love is God. That's why when we hug today, we can understand each other's love deep down. Yes, Grandma. Yes, Grandma. Okay, Grandma. Amen, Grandma. So this is an exciting time. An exciting time to create new words, new strategies, new ways of loving others. That is what we're all about as this community. Amen.
And David McNally.
How's that? What I love about the Sacred Journey community is that there is a clear recognition and acknowledgement that all of us are on our own individual sacred journey. We are not asked to conform, we are encouraged to explore. The exploration this morning, as I understand it, is to define what it means to be a disciple. The origin of the word disciple comes from a Greek word, mathetes or mathetes. For those Greek scholars in the room, you may correct me later, which means, as Sally said a little earlier, apprentice or pupil. Of course, in Christianity, a disciple is most commonly defined as a follower of Jesus. More broadly, however, a disciple is a follower or student of a teacher, a leader, a philosopher, or a school of thought. Within that latter context, many of us in this room may be seen as disciples of Sacred Journey. What I found encouraging is that nowhere was a disciple defined as someone who followed another in what might be called blind faith. Now, of course, many may choose to do so, but it does not appear to be a requirement. It's important, therefore, to consider what are the benefits of being a disciple. Well, that begins with understanding that the quality and outcomes of our lives have at their source our thoughts. Our thoughts are directly connected to our feelings, and we live and experience life on a feeling level. Human beings are highly motivated to feel good, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Jesus and other great teachers lead us to a discipline of thought. They enable us to take charge, reframe, and channel our thoughts in a direction that inspires us to live courageously and purposefully. The reward for this discipline, or discipleship, is not found in a future life, but right now. Who in this room especially would argue with Jesus saying, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to cast a stone"? That's a direct confrontation to being judgmental. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? That provides clear direction as to how we organize our priorities. Personally, I feel comfortable saying that I have become a newly minted disciple of John O'Donohue, thanks to Dwight Haberman, a former Catholic priest, if some of you don't know, a theologian and a philosopher. O'Donohue says that after many years of being a conduit to the forgiveness of sins, he believed that the greatest sin of all was not for any of us to not live a full life. I'm also a fan or a follower or a disciple of O'Donohue because I love his sense of humor. And if you've heard that CD that Dwight has liberally handed out about O'Donohue, he tells the story of René Descartes, who is the person who come up with "I think, therefore I am." And he tells the story of René going into a pub and ordering a pint of beer. And he finishes the beer and the bartender said, "Would you like another?" He said, "I think not," and disappeared. Takes a while, doesn't it? If disciple means being a student of a teacher, then we have several at Sacred Journey. I can categorically say I am a disciple of Sally Johnson. Every time Steve Blonds gives a homily, I have wow moments of insights and clarity. Now, Steve isn't here this morning, as we know, so I'm just going to share this in the intimacy of our group. I am not prepared to worship Steve, but I am prepared to be a disciple. My prayer is that the future will manifest many more teachers who will inspire us to become their disciples.
This has been a presentation from the podcast ministry of Hennepin Avenue United Methodist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Copyright 2017. Thank you for listening.